Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to look at that verse 9, that one verse of that psalm that was bold. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. That's the verse that we're going to focus on this evening. You know, in these past several weeks during our midweek services, we've emphasized, I think, two important things. One, that the Psalms speak about Jesus. And because the Psalms speak about Jesus, number two, they speak about us. And they speak about us because of our baptism and how our baptism connects us to Christ, of how we are joined together in the Lord. And so then I think then we can think then Psalm 41 now becomes kind of a biographical sketch about us. Psalm 41 tells your story, tells my story. Surely it tells the story of David and the story of the Lord. But it was written by David. Even my close friend, said David, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Now that one verse, verse 9, I want to just briefly look at it from three different people. The first person I want to look at it, we'll be talking about Absalom, David's son, his most handsome son, his most charming son. Absalom grew up on King David's knee. He ate his bread at the king's table. Hold on here, that's important. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up when it's time for Thanksgiving dinner, you had the adult's table, and then somewhere back off the hallway down towards the closet, you had the kid's table. And if you wanted seconds, oh boy. But here, he got to eat his bread at his father's table. You can see the intimate relationship already, father, son. You can see the intimate relationship being set up between God and his people. You can see the relationship that God wants between husband and wife. Absalom enjoyed his father's generosity. He enjoyed his love. And he received every creature comfort he could get from living with his dad. But Absalom also harbored a grudge. He had a temper. And he even conspired to have his father murdered. His father murder his brother. What was that? It was Amnon, David's older son. And it concerned over the rape of Tamar. Well, I can see why he would probably want him killed. But then in addition to this, Absalom wanted to go one step farther. He wanted more. He wanted the throne. Why stop halfway when you can go all the way? So here, Absalom is living in luxury and eating the finest foods, and he wanted more. I can see myself in that. The Lord has blessed me with lots of things. But boy, if I could only get the next latest and greatest. If I could only have this, then fill in the blank. Or Lord, if you just give me X amount of time, then I can do fill in the blank. Yeah, we may not be like Absalom where we're plotting out a murder. But I think our thoughts at times come pretty close. What is it? James says is that if you have hatred, and you've already committed murder. How many of us harbor hatred? And so, in the figure of speech that's expressed in Psalm 41, Absalom lifted his heel against David. And David was knocked down by the blow. So that's Absalom. The next individual is Ray. It's Judas. Judas did the same thing to Christ Jesus. I'm going to read to you 26 verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the ruling priests. "What will you give me?" he asked. "I will betray him for you." They offered him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, he was looking for a chance to betray him. "What will you give me?" "Yeah, I'll betray him for you." Again. "What will you give me?" It's about me rather than others. I think the gospel lesson a couple Sundays ago, the Son of Man came to what? To serve rather than being served. Is it about us? Or is it about God's kingdom. Now, Judas did that terrible thing because he had malice towards Jesus. Inexplicable malice towards Jesus. But yet, one have to wonder that even though he had this malice, God has given to Judas every good thing imaginable. When they were traveling together with the disciples, Jesus entrusted Judas with the finances of the group. It says that he was keeper of the money. So obviously there was some trust there between Jesus and Judas. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he gave them power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Who was right there? Judas. God's ordaining hand was gently placed upon Judas's head. And on the night here, on the night in which he's going to be betrayed, Jesus even knelt in front of Judas and humbly washed his feet along with the rest of the disciples. And then following that, Jesus served them his precious body in blood. Jesus knew that the betrayer was right in front of him. Jesus knew back when he commissioned them to go out and to do ministry that this is the one who is going to betray me later. That this is the one, as we're using Psalm 41 terminology, who's going to lift his heel and strike. And how did Jesus respond? He treated him like an individual. One that was bought and purchased by the blood of Christ. He didn't single him out. He didn't say, okay, you guys are going to go do ministry, but you, you're shady. You're going to do something later. I think you need to go back and take Catechism 101 again. No. Judas fulfilled in the life of Christ what King David earlier experienced in Psalm 41. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. So that was, and had Absalom, we had Judas, and then I think you can kind of guess the last. It's us. Boy, if we just kept the list of things in which we have angered God. That phrase and phraseology in Psalm 41 about lifting his head or lifting his heel to strike, boy, so true. Yeah, because when you think about it, we have let our Lord down. No matter how much we try, We let them down. And even when we try, sometimes we add qualifiers to it. Well, I had to because. Or we needed, fill in the blank. Among the many emotions of betrayal, I think one of the emotions, and probably perhaps one of the strangest, is loneliness. Betrayal can make you feel abandoned and alone. Betrayal can focus your thoughts upon that one lost friend, that one individual who was hurt, rather than all of the rest of your friends who are faithful. You see, we tend to focus on that one person. And these last several weeks, if there's anything I've learned from seeing a grief specialist, it is that. We focus on one, but we ignore the other 99 faithful in the room. And so, yes, we lift up our heel and we strike. But does God stop loving us? No. We know how the story ends, right? It doesn't end with a death. It ends with eternal life. Christ coming to new life on Easter morning. The story ends with us being reminded that we have the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, that we are a new person, that we are a new creature. And because we are that new creature, that new person, we can then be different in this world. And so as we continue to journey with him through tomorrow and then Easter morning, let us remember the blessings that he gives to us. That even though that I am a poor, miserable sinner, I rejoice knowing that I am forgiven, that I am his, and I have life. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.